Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your goodness. Lord, I just can't even imagine what to say. They're just so without words, all the goodness beyond anything that I can imagine, try to explain that you're so wonderful. As they say in Germany, wunderbar. You're just beyond description. And if I had to write, I wouldn't know how to write. I wouldn't even know how to speak. But you're beyond the highest caliber of any thoughts that we can even get in our imagination. But you're God, and I thank you that you being so big, and you're so awesome, so wonderful, so holy, so righteous, that you allow a little nobody like me and others, little ones like all of us, mankind, that you allow us to come in your presence, that you allow us to come there, and you want to be our daddy, you want to be our provider, you want to be our waymaker, you want to be our keeper, our defender, and you are our comforter, you're our great shepherd, you're our great healer, you're our great beyond provisions, beyond anything that we can imagine, even as we would go and seek the years before us to try to have some plan of retirement. You're beyond that. You're beyond any. And Father, I just praise you. I praise you for those days that I sought for you and you made yourself real to me, and I thank you for it. You're such a wonderful person. I can't even explain. You're beyond. I don't have any way to describe that. You're just so wonderful. And you've always presented yourself as more than righteous, more than any imagination that I could ever. I don't know why you ever had time for me, but you love us, your children. Tonight I feel in my heart that you want to start in Ephesians 5:1, be you followers of God as dear children. And Father, I just pray that you'd make yourself real to all those that will be hearing this message tonight. And you'd make yourself clear by your Spirit and help give me the direction. Give me the thoughts, give me thy will, that you'll speak through my heart in such a way that it'll be from your heart to your people. And Father, we're desirous that your word will go out with great power, with a great anointing, with great simplicity that all can understand. And Father, we just pray that you'd do a mighty work this night. And Father, we just pray that you'd bind all hindering powers and come against us this night. And Father, that you'd loose your power of blessings. Where your Spirit is, there is liberty. And Father, we speak liberty in this service. Where this goes round the world tonight, we pray liberty wherever it speaks out throughout the universe. Father, we speak liberty. We speak peace. We speak the coming of Jesus. We speak he's coming soon. We speak a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming back very soon. And Father, we just praise you that we are your children. And Father, you know that you're calling your children home very soon. And we know how it is when we at home, when we're in our own natural homes, and when we went our little day, when we was little, how was we went to our home for Thanksgiving. We went to our, and we still do. But Father, you're beyond that. You're beyond the friendship that we have even into our family levels. That you're even greater than any imagination, how great and wonderful you are. It's hard for us in our own kind mind to understand your greatness. You're beyond understanding. But Father, your word says that we're more than conquerors through you, which loves us. We pray that you'd put a blessing upon your people this night. You'd touch them, move upon them as only you can. Father, whatever the need is tonight, we pray that you'd meet that need in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. We find ourselves in life as coping with everyday situations. And families, if you're a big family, my wife was from a large family, there was different problems because there was different people. And that's the way life is. Everything, there's people, there's someone's got a problem. Someone has a need. And someone has a desire, there's a purpose. But God is the one of God that wants to bring in all people under his umbrella, under his shelter. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And God's wishing for us this night to come under His protection, His guidance, His direction, that we might be liberated from the things of doubt, the things of fear, the things that cause us to fret, the things that cause us to be discouraged, the things that make us upset, the things that sometimes makes us angry, the things that makes us sometimes not very cheerful. These are the things that God wants to help us in, that we might be more than conquerors through our God, which will set us free, because we are His children. Ephesians 5:1, it says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." A child, basically, until the day of when they grow up, that when they're the infancy, doesn't have to worry. If he comes, he's born in a good family, he doesn't have to worry about his clothing. He doesn't have to worry about the provisions he needs. He doesn't even have to worry about what doctor things, because his mother and his father, or her mother and her father, provide these for them. And that's what we have, a God that's beyond our superstition that we can think in our natural. He's beyond that, that He will provide for us every good and perfect gift. And I'm going to repeat it. Last week, I started having a real sore arm and started hurting. And that night before last, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I just couldn't. My whole shoulder was hurting, and my arm was hurting. And I was just saying, "Lord, I just leave it in Your hands." And I just, you've ever been that way? I pray, I don't even like to pray for myself, because I feel guilty, because there's other people that need prayers more than I do. But I was thanking God anyway in it. And I think that's what God wishes. He wants us to realize there's others in His family. We're part of a family of His people, that we will be brothers and sisters unto the Lord in the realm of under our Father's house. Because one of these days, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye might be also." God is bringing us together very shortly. It's coming home. You know, if you've ever been to a high schools when you have a class reunions, that's coming when you come back and come together, and they'll pick a certain day, and that will be the day of the reunion. Well, God's having a day very shortly. It's going to come, and it's appointed very shortly that we're all going to be before Him in that day, and He's going to get to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the rest that I've called you." And it's going to be a blessed time for those who have made God as their Heavenly Father. The Bible says, "I've been written, I have not seen, neither heard, neither has entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared from them that love Him." God has a supernatural love beyond any of our understanding. Why He made the world is because that we could live a few years on earth, and those few years that we would live, we could either accept or reject Him. He doesn't force us in to be in His. We have to do it because we desire it. And that desire touches the heart of God when we desire Him, that we want Him so much that He wishes for us to want Him above everything else that's in this world, that we would ever actually take the Word of God as truth, that we desire what it, because I'm of His bloodline. Jesus has paid in full that I might receive a blessing from heaven, that I might, my life might be changed, that all of us would be saved from the destiny that would come upon all men till we have met Jesus as our Savior. And through this process, we should be so thankful, so blessed, so without just exceedingly glorious, happy, because God has made us where we have restitution from our lifestyle that we had begin this life in. And God has given us a greater place, a greater desire, a greater blessing, that we can walk in His likeness and His goodness. And He wishes for us to put on His nature. God doesn't force His nature. He doesn't force these. He could say, "I'm going to zap you and put you in however we do it," and you'd have His nature. But we grow in these, and we have to desire as precious, something that we desire more than life itself. He wants us to desire the good things. So we would desire the blessings. We would desire the love. We would desire that loving kindness, that love. You know, there's no place in the world, there's no place in this world that has love. God's the only answer to love. We have somewhat love through family love, but it's not the great love of God even made that. Love comes from God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but should have eternal life. God's made it possible we can all come before Him with singing. We can come with Him praising and have a joyful noise on the Lord, all you land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. God has a place that we can come in that and accept His goodness. And God will not close the door on us. He will not shut us out. You know, I've got a little puppy, and I sometimes almost have to close this little puppy from getting in because the puppy has to start learning some of what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes you have to close something out like that, and God sometimes has to even close us out for an instant, but He is there only for a short term that we might learn to walk in His obedience. That's sometimes why we go through things that seem like we feel like we're alone, but God wants us to realize that He cannot look upon sin. He looks on us as righteousness because we've been refined by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been set free. We're more than conquerors through Jesus, which loved us. And when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God sees us as a child of love. God sees us as a child of faith that we might grow in the nature and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ to walk in His victory, in His love, in His counsel, in His direction. And we would receive a gratifying love from God that's beyond any imagination we can even hope to see or even desire to understand. There's nothing that can cope or understand us in our own mind what God has for us. It's hard to explain, but we need to say, God, I love You. I praise You as God loves us. You know, the other morning I was standing on the side of that camp and I just felt like praising God right there before I got up, and God just come down in a very special way. But I was out there by myself, nobody around. But God makes Himself known. And some of the times when He comes down is when I'm by myself. When I'm out there by myself, God comes in your life. It's not because God is a respecter of person. But sometimes when you're by yourself, your mind is more stayed on Him. The Bible says He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. The problem we have in life, there's too many things that we have. And these things are not God. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that's easy to beset us, and let us run that race with patience. Many things that we have are not really sin, but some of them are going to take us away from the Spirit of God. And something can take away becomes a hindrance. Maybe it's not a great sin, but if something can take us from setting our eyes while we're upon earth here, I don't know if it'll ever change, but you're only basically girls, women, I understand, do of two or three of them. But men, we can't only do one thing at one time. And basically that's all we've done. God give us just the ability to do one thing at a time. And that's why I believe that, man, we have to praise God, because we can't praise God and do something else at the same time. We either got to praise Him or we got to not praise Him. Because God wants us to do that, but He wants us to also, when we're not praising Him, have that attitude of praise, even when we're not praising Him. You understand what I'm saying? That we have to sometimes commit ourselves to working. We have to commit ourselves to doing things as in the Lord, and God understands that. But there's an attitude that even when this is not working, that you still love God, and God sees that. There's no way that you could do every minute of the day. God don't expect that. But when you can, you need to say, as David says, seven times I will praise God. Seven times I will call upon God. And that's what we need. Every time we get a chance, we need to think upon. When I wake up in the middle of the night, I says, Lord, and I have to punch myself every once in a while. Thank You, Jesus, for this night. Thank You. Because our minds, there's something about our minds that has a way, because this mind that we have is part of the old sin nature. And this old sin nature, we got to keep coaxing ourselves all the time that we will keep this body in control. Because if we leave it alone, it'll go out here and do just like the weeds in your garden. It'll start coming up and you'll start having the weeds. You'll start having thoughts that come in your mind. If you don't correct these things, those evil thoughts will come in. And they're not really evil, but they'll just sideline you from the things of the Lord. And we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, the idea that I'm going to put every moment I can in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to work the very best I can do, because God wants us to be a good worker. God, whatever we do, we need to do it as unto the Lord. But there means a time when we have to submit. The other day I was doing something. I know I was cutting my ends out and ripping, and I had the Lord really spoke to my heart, says, you've got to keep your mind on what you're doing now. And now there is a time when you've got to keep, I don't care what you are, you've got to keep, God understands. when you're under pressure. God understands when something's there and you're running cash treasures and you're not going to be able to praise God, but your heart's there even though you're mine and you're doing other things. But when you are free, then you can say, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for watching over me the times that I was not even thinking anything about you. But right now, I've come back, Lord, and you understand. God understands us. What I'm saying, he understands whatever situation we're in. He understands. If we just deliberately go off and leave him and don't want him, he sees that. But if we desire him and we're busy, then he understands it. And God's a great God. God's a wonderful God. We just realize there's no way that you could survive. And God understands that. We just do it as God in the heart. Now, you serve God through your heart. If your heart condemns you not, then you have peace with God. That's what the Bible says. If our hearts condemn us not, we have peace with God. Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if our hearts is right with God, God moves upon us. And we don't have to be concerned when we're out here. When you're working a cash register, whatever you're doing, even like Jan's doing right now, because you got to keep your mind on what you're doing. God understands that. You can still be in the spirit, but your spirit is not out here laughing, making yourself. God understands. And the spirit is something that when at time, God moves upon you in the spirit. But then there's times when you're working. There's time when you're working on a computer. There's time when you're doing these things, when you're doing whatever. God wants you to be a responsible Christian. He wants you to be above reproach. You would not be a good Christian if you didn't do it as what you're doing as unto God. God doesn't expect you to move away. He wants you to be a child of His. He knows that you're a labor of love. He says about your labor of love that you labor, not in vain, but labor in love of God. We walk upright before Him in all visitation. But we would have the heart of compassion. You can work, but still you've got a heart of compassion. You've got a heart of sympathy. When someone's hurting, you feel for that one. You have a heart of peace, a joyful, a loving heart, a one wants to cares for people. Those things are areas that's in your heart. And you're not there just blabbing all those things all the time. And I see people so get carried away, they do these things. But God doesn't expect that. The Spirit of God stays in you, and from that moment when everything's right, God says, go ahead. It's just like crossing a red light. You don't go across the red light until it's green. It cautions you even stop. That's the same way the Spirit. You wait upon the Spirit, but yet you're still living a livelihood. I've lived as hard a life as anybody there is, and I've walked in the Spirit. But God moves together, and I can tell a lot of people, you don't do it like a lot of people do it. You do it through the Spirit. God understands that your heart is with Him. Even though, if you understand, you can do what you're doing, and when you're finished, then God says, okay, now, it's my time now. We move over. And that's what we do. It's very practical. It's very easy. Because very soon when we get in heaven, we won't have to worry. The time will be no object. But while you're here, people need a little coaching on this about the Spirit. God doesn't want you to be a novice. God wants you to walk in His labor of love as a vessel of praise, not a vessel of dishonor. We get out here and try doing our gifts through the Spirit when we're working. Wouldn't be pleased to God because God isn't calling you to do that. When the Spirit of God moves on you in a wonderful way. It's not a gift to just get out here, do it in a cheap way. Well, so when you're working, God understands, you put it away aside because you're not dishonoring God, but you're there as a vessel of praise, and God will honor it for you. But then at that time when the Spirit comes upon you, after the stage is set, then He moves upon you. It's very easy. It's just like you get your car out here, and you have a real nice car, and that real nice car you only drive it for special occasions. That's more or less the way we are. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, that's special occasions. Now, God can come upon you while you're doing, and He'll say, hey, my child, I want you to stop, do this. Then you listen. But anyway, as long as everything's going on, the Bible says, having done all to stand. That's why many Christians have gotten very placid about walking in the Spirit. You don't walk in the Spirit in the way that God doesn't come in the Spirit of you to change your all to you to where you can't do your job. God's quite the contrary. He wants you to do your job. He will fit it out exactly at the time you'll do it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't even take any concern about it. You're walking by, and that's the children of God. The children of God. God so loves us that He understands every step of the way, and He will not force you above anything that you're able to go through. He wants to have you grow in Him, and something not even to worry about. God says, fret not because of these things. Fret not. God will take care of you. He will keep you. As He shepherds the sheep, so He'll shepherd us. He will keep us. And the wolf cannot come against us. And there's so many people who get this confused about walking the Spirit. It's very easy. God moves it on you, and you don't give God a black name, a black eye. And many times we do that when we try to get out here and say something that we shouldn't say. The Bible says, be quick to hear and slow to speak. We should be very slow to speak. Thus saith the Spirit of God. The only time we should speak is when the Spirit of God basically is on us, unless we're normal conversations. That's a way of learning how to get to God. But God wants us to practice in love, practice in Him, that we might come to cope with life through the things that we enjoy. God is the Spirit. We must worship Him in spirit and truth. But it doesn't something to be afraid of. It's something not just to enjoy. And God will help you through this. Many people says, I don't want to be around the Spirit because I'm afraid to death. No, you don't even have to be afraid, because God will help you. And many times He'll tell you ahead of time. But it's something you don't have to worry about. You don't have to be concerned about. But your trust and your faith in Him is the most important thing. And we remember, whatever we do, that we're doing as everything that we do as unto the Lord. And yet we do that in the labor of love and do it to Him, that God will work all the angles out. He'll work every situation, every phase of our life, that we can walk in victory and we don't have to be afraid. God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We're more than conquerors through Him which loved us. But we can face life every day of our life and don't have to be we don't have to be afraid. We don't cast our pearls before swine. That means you don't go out here and do something. I've seen people that was spirit-filled and they weren't good examples because they was mixing in everything and it was terrible. Just be cautious. I'm just saying today, you need to be cautious. The Holy Spirit, God will lead you. And every day when you can, pray. Pray without ceasing. And everything, give thanks for this will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But we need to be thankful, and that's the thing that God brings us into a place of closeness as we thank God, we call upon Him and say, Lord, I just love You. I just praise You. I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for Your great love. I thank You for that joy unspeakable, full of glory. I thank You that You are my great shepherd, that You are my way maker. I get better when I'm in the spirit part than I do when I'm out here trying to teach someone a little bit like tonight. When the Spirit of God comes upon me, it's easy. But I don't go out and show myself when I'm around people that don't know. I conduct myself as in the Lord. That's what I want to put out tonight. If wherever you are, you act, conduct yourself as unto God. Don't go out here and start tooting your horn when God doesn't want you to toot your horn. God wants you to have a smile on your face, and that's basically the end of it. Keep quiet, keep still, walk in victory, and don't have to come against. You don't have to even say anything a lot of times. You don't want to say, I told you so. With all these things that we try to take references, we can just walk in this love of God. That we'll just be a vessel of praise. That our light will just shine for the love of Jesus. You know, I think that's the greatest testimony that all of us have. That we can go to something coming up, that the world's there, but you carry yourself distinguished. You don't say all these fancy words that we would, churchy words out there, because it's not, the Bible says we're not to do those things. But we conduct ourselves as unto God. Conduct ourselves as a spokesman, as a gentleman, a lady. And that's what God wishes for, that we start conducting ourselves as someone that we don't have to be ashamed of. You know, I've had some families that I'm a little bit ashamed of the way they act. God in our family, He doesn't want us to be ashamed one to another, that we would walk and have not a high look, but not a bent over look, frown look either. We'd have just a natural look. God's there in your heart, and the Spirit of the Lord is in you. Mm-hmm. And that's the joy of God. And I think that God will help you this night. Father, I pray for a mighty blessing upon these this night. Help them to understand that Your Spirit is wonderful. And I pray, Lord, if I said anything wrong, well, correct me this night. And I pray that You'd let me understand that there's maybe if I fail, but I think it's right by your Spirit, and I pray that you'd bless your people in a mighty way, that we can all be vessels of praise, of honor, that we'll be one that can lift up our eyes unto you, and we can give you all the praise, we can give all the glory, but yet we're not putting ourselves as a vessel that someone's looking at, staring at. We're a vessel of righteousness. We're a vessel of joy, peace, goodness, meekness, temperance, and patience. Father, we just pray for a mighty blessing on your people tonight in a very wonderful way, and we just thank you for this night. We thank you. We pray that your people will learn to realize that you want to take care of them, that you want to keep them, that you want to help them through their decisions. You want to help them in letting their light so shine that we might not get so vocal sometimes we lose the people around about us, that we'll be that vessel of honor. We'll be that vessel of praise. And we thank you this night. And Father, there's any here tonight that need help, we pray that you'd help them in a very special way. Father, any here need to be have salvation, we pray that you'd come in their hearts this night. In Jesus' name, we have any here that need to be have a prayers answered, we pray that you'd meet that need. We pray whatever the need is tonight, we pray that you'd make a way, and we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Glory.